is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Out of the backfield, exploding down the sideline.
This is Hanging with the Boys, presented by Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. Now, your hosts, Nate Newton, Kurt Daniels, Jesse Holly, and Shannon Gross.
Let's take them to school, Jazz. Well, hello, beautiful. You're looking at a live shot of the Ford Center and Tostitos Championship Plaza here in Frisco at the Star, home of the Dallas Cowboys. Hello, everyone, and being more specific, what's up, Cowboy Nation? You are now rocking with the best. I'm Heckma Harrison, and joining me in the SWBC Mortgage Studios is none other than Editor-in-Chief of the... What are you laughing about?
It's Friday. Go win. Not Beacon 900.
That's my man. Editor-in-Chief. Kurt Daniels.
It's Friday. He's supposed to go in on Friday.
Come on, man. Let me get why come you interrupting my opening?
You said hello, beautiful. I thought you were talking about
me. I practice that in the mirror every morning, and then you just...
My fault. Back to the top. I'm sorry.
Jesse, that's why I love you.
Sorry.
All right. And reality show winner, Emmy nominated. But we got to come up with a good nickname for this guy. None other than Mr. Jesse Holly, a former Cowboy of the Dallas Cowboys. And on the line with me is a whole lot of rings. Three-time Super Bowl champion, Mr. Nate Newton. I used to call him the Kitchen, but if you see him, he don't look much like the Kitchen no more, man. Looking more like the Dutch Oven. Yeah. You see, Nate. Well, Nate like losing that weight, boy.
The air fryer.
That's what the name. The not the Dutch oven. The air fryer.
I like the air fryer.
Nate, and the guy that is forever will be. We'll have to call him by his nickname.
Oh Lord!
Come on, Jesse.
He got a Super Bowl too.
I'm getting to the Super Bowl. I want to talk about the nickname.
Let's talk about
that. He will be referred to from now on.
Let's talk.
None
about
other than. Do we put black in front of that? Or did we just call him?
Let's ask him, because he's the one that gave himself his name.
All right. Do we call you Black Zeus, or do we just Zeus Black? Which one is it?
Which one you want? Which one do you prefer? Since you gave yourself the nickname.
Caramel Brown Zeus.
Caramel. You're not even caramel.
I swear to God today, I will not call.
You're not even on the mocha special.
I will call caramel.
What if he way down the street? What up with the yell? Hey, yo, caramel. Like, no, I can't yell caramel.
Thank y'all for riding with us, and appreciate y'all being here. We're hanging with the boys, and guys, we got a great show planned. And Jesse, you came in here wound up like a $3 clock. I already know what's on your mind. But before I get to all of that, guys, I want to make this a point to check everybody's mentals.
Yes.
Today, check your mentals. How is everyone doing? And Nate, I'm going to start with you, brother.
I'm doing fabulous, man. It's good to hear that you guys are feeling great and pumped up. And Jesse, glad to hear you. Glad that you are there. You know, Emmy Award winning. I'm glad that Kurt's there with his high credit score. And I'm glad that Caramel is there. You too, Heckman. But glad to hear your voice leading this show.
Isaiah, how are you this fine afternoon, brother?
Man, thank you for checking on my mental, man. Speaking on mental, shout out to everybody on the Cowboys media team that played a part in the documentary, the Deep Blue documentary, Brain Game. I know my guy Jesse played a part in it. I had a very small role in it as well.
You guys shared some powerful stories in that.
They did a great job with that, man. So, but my mental's good. It's a little shaken coming off of practice yesterday. I'm sure we'll get into that. But overall, I am good. I woke up. I still got dreads. I'm not ashy. I'm feeling good.
Kurt, how about you? How are you, sir?
Well, I don't think I'm ashy. I'm not sure. But I'm doing good. Yeah, a little stressed. Got deadlines hanging over me, but yeah, I'm Happy to be here with you guys.
Don't worry about it. You got a white chocolate mocha.
White chocolate mocha.
This is, I don't know how we go through this. We got white chocolate mocha. We got caramel. On it. I don't know, man. I would get right to it. Yesterday's practice, obviously, you guys are probably thinking to yourself, what in the heck is going on? You guys are probably, I'm sorry about that, guys. You guys are probably thinking to yourself, look, what in the heck from that practice yesterday? But give me your thoughts, and I'll start with you.
Can we start with Zeus first?
You want to start with Zeus?
Yeah, he was there. Let's start with Zeus to get his vantage point, and then we'll branch out from there.
Okay. Zeus, tell me, what'd you think?
Coming off of yesterday's practice, let's start with the positive. The positives were that offensively, there were some guys that showed up. There were some guys that showed up in a sense of seeing Fajoko was out there making some plays, and that's something that I personally hadn't seen out of him up to date, so that was encouraging. Dennis Houston continued to be that sure thing option for Dak, not for Will Greer, not for Cooper Rush, not for Ben DiNucci, but for Dak Prescott. That's Dennis Houston, an undrafted free agent. And then, you know, and then you had Jalen Tolbert. Those three guys stepped up and did a really good job. On the offensive line, Tyler Smith, you know, he seemed to show some poise. He didn't get caught up in their emotions, so that was encouraging to see. Dak was showing poise in the pocket, which is, you know, obviously that's something that we expect out of QB1, but, you know, he showed that as well. Defensively, Dan Quinn felt pretty good. I spoke with him following practice. He felt good with their execution. I think that those guys were getting a lot of pressure on Russell Wilson and that offensive front for the Denver Broncos. Every time I peeked over there, it seemed like the third string team was getting their butts kicked for the most part. So that's something that we'll definitely have our eyes open to for tomorrow evening's game. The bad part, and I'm going to let Nate expand on this, is the offensive line. And it was not encouraging by any measure. The defensive line for Denver Broncos literally just slapped them continuously. And there's only one person seemingly on that whole offensive line that stood up for themselves, and that was Terrence Steele. Other than that, I don't really know what to make of them.
She said not necessarily getting beat, they just didn't fight back.
Oh, no, they were getting beat, too. No, they were getting beat as well. Don't get it mistaken. The defensive line stayed in the backfield. The offense, Dallas Cowboys offense, was not able to establish any form of running game, even in that thudding up type setting. They were struggling to create any kind of seams for TP, for Zeke, any of those guys. None of those guys could really get anything going. And then whenever they did drop back and pass, it was either a quick pass or they were getting pressure. There was a couple passes that you guys might have seen on the highlights where CD had a good catch on a post route where he turned his guy around. So that was a nasty route. Dak put up a nice ball on him. But other than that, there weren't a lot of big time plays out there. Most of the stuff, Denver controlled it.
From the understanding that I got, Isaiah, was that it was more what we saw in our pad of practice versus ourselves. It's not the whole group breaking down at one time. It's one guy breaking down a major play where it could be a big play, but you got this one guy in the backfield, or you got this one guy that's penetrated. You know, I heard on a jet sweep, even with Turpin, you know, the tight end missed his block and forced the play out wide. So it's that inconsistency that I continue to tell you guys. We're a month out, and after this Denver game, don't split reps anymore. I mean, I heard two different people that, you know, they liked it. Smith a little bit better than Connor, but Connor's had his, McGovern had his good plays, you know. So the only consistent thing that I heard was the center was okay, the right guard is the right guard, the left tackle is the left tackle, but he got hurt. And like you say, Steele, the only one that, you know, he was getting beat here and there, but he had some fight to him, he had some pushback to him. So am I correct in what I'm saying here and the information that I'm gathering, Isaiah?
Yes, you are. You're absolutely correct. And, you know, I know you want to talk about the tackle position. Josh Ball did not have a good...
No, we're not going to talk about him, my grandmama.
Okay, okay. All right. Let's move along.
And so we're going to stay right there. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all, Nate. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. And we're talking about the joint practices yesterday at the UC Health Training Center for the Denver Broncos. And guys, it was so much about... yesterday for me. I think there's some positive things to take from it. I thought that Dak, for sure, looked good, and we'll get into talking about him. But the things on that really troubled me, you guys are covering. But I think for me, it's seeing Connor McGovern go with the first team, take those first team reps, trying to understand where Tyler Smith is, how he's playing into this, and if we're I know it's too early to have buyer's remorse, but that's an automatic red flag for me when I don't see the young guy go out there. Nate, what did you think about that when you saw McGovern taking those reps?
It's just I don't understand, and I'll probably say this until they make a definite call on which guy. But you keep telling me this guy is aggressive. He's a culture changer. He's smart. But he's not getting enough of first team reps. I mean, even though it was a mishmash, a lot of guys, once the left tackle went down, they started just switching players in and out from the understanding that I get. But I would like to see this guy, if he's everything, quit blowing smoke at us. We're intelligent enough. It's something about why this kid is not your starting left guard. And I don't know the answers. That'll be one of the main things I'm going to be confronting one of the coaches about. Why isn't this guy starting if he's our guy? I've had two scouts tell me he's our guy. Then I've had coaches say, well, he's coming along. Why isn't he our guy? We need to know after Denver going into the practices with the Chargers, because they're going to bring a whole different level of intensity in practice.
Right.
And that's where our offensive line, this should be a learning point. It even happened to our guys with the Raiders, with a few other teams, with the Chargers that we practiced against when I played. You learned that it could be a different tempo depending on who you're practicing against. And these guys brought a different, from my understanding, from the 8,000 people I called, and plus Isaiah's input, that the tempo was so different that it took our offense a minute to catch up.
Do you think this is kind of overall, I mean, obviously there's good that comes out of these scrimmages like this because you're seeing, like you said, different pace, different tempo, that kind of thing. But overall, when you're asking the guys to travel up to Denver, it was hot out there, I guess. Altitude was a problem, it sounds like, for guys like Gallimore. Is it worth the cost and the trouble and time and all that to do these types of things?
Yes. Yes, 100%. Yes, because no environment is going to be the same. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The more that you can experience, the more that you go through, the more that your mind has to register, it becomes second nature after a while. It's, I promise you, it's like a dog. Once you go into one dog's yard and beat him up, in this condition, then you go to the next dog's yard and you beat him up.
What if you're the one getting beat up?
And then you learn from the experience and make sure you don't get caught in the same place at the same time in the same way the next time. It's about experience. Your kid deals with this in baseball. Am I correct? Different places, different times,
sure.
Different crowds. Your kids deal with it, and I'm quite sure you tell them, Kurt, baby, you got to learn to deal with this. This is the bulldog world.
Now, Jesse, let me ask you this. Now, Coach Mike McCarthy spoke at length in the press conference about wanting to have productive reps. And how he talked to head coach of the Broncos, Coach Hackett, about making sure that both of these teams came away from the joint practices with those productive reps. Things got chippy immediately, and he talked about look, this is not the time to be tough and all of that. As much as being made about the personality of this team, who are they? When you look at a practice like that and all the things that Isaiah was just talking about Steele being the guy that was really just repping for himself, how did you feel when you saw that and you looked around and you're like, look, man, our guys are getting thrown out the club?
When is a good time to be tough? Serious question.
When
is a good time to be tough in the game of football?
All the time.
Okay. Now, let me make a distinct difference between tough or toughness and fighting. There's a huge difference. And so when you hear that, when I say the Cowboys are not a tough football team or didn't display toughness, it has absolutely nothing to do with six fights. Absolutely nothing. I don't care about the fights. To me, toughness is I come in and I dominate you from the start, period. That's toughness. That's me coming in, setting the tone and saying, you know what? I was a part of this team last year when y'all came down here and beat the brakes off us. I was a part of that team. Now I'm going to come in here and I'm going to dominate my matchup. The thing that I want people to go back and watch, the Bradley Chubb hitting Zeke Elliott in the backfield. Please, I don't care about the hit. Don't care about the hit.
Celebration.
I don't care about the celebration. What I care about is go back and watch the play and watch how the Cowboys walk back to the huddle. Heads were hanging low. I don't care about the fight, fellas. I don't care about that. You walk back to the huddle. I promise you, go watch the play. It's out there. It's out there in the Twitter worldverse. Go out there and watch the play. Jokers is looking around at each other. Their energy, the Broncos' energy is different. The Cowboys walk back to the huddle, and you just watch. I promise you, go back and watch this play. I should have told Jazzy to have it up so you can have it, see it on the screen. Well, go back and watch the energy of our players walking back to the huddle. That ain't tough to me. My form of toughness is I'm a bust yo every single play. Not fighting, but I'm going to drive you 5 yards back. I'm going to pancake you. I'm going to make sure that you know that every time you deal with me, I'm like that. Nothing to do with fighting. I don't care about that. Ain't tough to me. I know a lot of dudes who sell lip service, wouldn't bust a grape on a fruit flight, ain't going to kill nothing, won't let nothing die. To me, the toughness, when you step across those white lines and you put on a uniform, especially full padded uniform, against another team, another man, here's my time to because I don't know when I might see you again. I might see you somewhere down the line in the Super Bowl. I want you to know when you looked across and saw 1-6 in that Cowboy uniform, you knew for a fact your hands were full today. Every single down. Every single snap. God, I got to play that Holly kid again. Golly, this joker just don't stop. That's toughness to me. Man, he going to try to dominate me every single time. That's toughness to me. That's letting your nuts hang and saying, listen here, dude, I'm a man just like you. But today, you going to hold, as they do in prison, you going to hold my pocket. Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn this pocket inside out on these pants, and you're going to walk with me and hold my pocket today. That's tough. I don't care about fights, but letting that man know I own you, I'm going to dominate you. And when I see the way that they walk back to the huddle, how they wasn't trying to put dudes in the dirt and put jokers on their back and give them grass stains on their back. See, that's when we go out and we see San Francisco, and they walk out with the boombox playing Super Gremlin, and Debo and Trent Williams is walking out, and they put folks on their back and made you tuck your tail. See, that's toughness to me. I don't care about no fights, fellas. And I'm not going to sit here. And I'm passionate about it because I got to deal with people online who call out of work for sinus infections. Y'all can't tell me about toughness. No, I don't want to hear about toughness. I know what it looks like. I know what it is. And to me, it ain't about the fights. It's about what you represent as a man when you're going up against another man from a team that, for those guys who were here last year, put foot off in your,
yes, sir,
you know what.
Now Isaiah,
in, at home.
Now Isaiah, Nate, whichever one of you guys want to go behind that, man. Did you have the same reaction to that play specifically, the Ezekiel Elliott play?
Well, I've always had a reaction to that when you hit my starting running back or my starting quarterback. The thing that bothered me about the play is you let a guy go free. And to more to Jesse's point, guys have gotten the best of me, but at the end of the play, I'm not letting you go free on my guys. And I'm a know who to block, and I'm going to stay on that block. You may even push me into the guy, but I'm going to be between you and that guy. And when you make your play, I'm going to still be on you. So when you, even when you trying to dance, I'm going to still have a hold of you. What our guys are not doing is they are not staying with the guy. Too many quick escapes. Too many guys letting guys leak off. Finish the play is what Jesse's saying. Even when they look up, they may like, okay, I got a hit for a loss. But there's Nate hanging on to me like a bulldog. You hear me keep saying that, but that like a bulldog. That is the changing of culture. When you stay on a guy, when you just relentless about getting after a guy and not just letting him just run free. And that's what we've been having as offensive line, too much as guys running free.
Isaiah, you were there. And what was your initial reaction?
Yeah, so it wasn't what Nate just attested to, simply because it was a toss crack. Right? So it was kind of like a 28 toss crack. The ball was going to the right. Here it is. And Bunch said guys were pulling and going off to the right side. So typically, you let that backside defensive end run free because no way he should be able to get to the ball.
And he cut back.
But the reason why Zeke ended up putting his foot in the ground, you know, to Nate's point is there is some seepage in the middle of the offensive line.
It was a lot more seepage.
There's some seepage. So there's one of the defensive linemen and linebackers, I couldn't remember what it was, got vertical in the middle of the front, and that's what caused Zeke to put his foot in the ground. When he put his foot in the ground, now that backside man, you know, obviously he just happened to be an all-pro defensive end, came free and knocked the mess out of Zeke. Immediately, my reaction was, uh-oh, here we go. Here we go. That was my immediate reaction, simply because of the fact that I don't care if it's Zeke's fault, I don't care whose fault it is, you're not going to get a free hit on my player. You're not teeing off on my guy, especially a guy of that caliber, in a practice setting where we're supposed to just be setting up.
And this is where your offensive line coach and your offensive coordinator has to go into the meeting and ask themselves as coaches and question their position coach to say, fellas, do this guy understand when we're toss sweeping on any sweep at the outside to the right or the left that the backside guy should not be able to get to our player because the front side guys are going to overreach to make sure there's no cutback. There's no cutback. You have to know that as a running back, and you have to know that as an offensive lineman. If we make this guy cut back, we're going to get him killed.
But what I want to see also, like, when you talk about formulating toughness, I want to see the offensive lineman go back to huddle and say, Coach, run it again.
Yeah.
Run it again.
Like no more, man.
I want to see it again.
Cause, they don't work like that no more.
Because that ain't – no. We ain't even tosses no more. We going straight power, man on man. Because that dude – matter of fact, we running right at him. Like, that's what I want to see. That's the part of toughness. That's how you build toughness. That's how you get guys to think in a tough mentality. It ain't just, next play.
Can you teach that? I mean, we haven't seen it. Didn't see it much last year.
70, 80.
I want to see guys go. When I was in New England, I remember they ran a play that they ran in the Super Bowl. They ran Wes Welker kind of up the seam. It was a back shoulder throw that Tom Brady missed in the Super Bowl. Okay?
Right.
I get there the next year. We're practicing. The same play comes up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They missed the play in practice. Tom overthrows Wes Welker. Josh McDaniels go, let's go, next play. Tom said, run it again. Josh McDaniels said, next play, let's go, let's move it. Tom said, run it again. Josh McDaniels goes, next play, let's go, move it. Tom Brady goes, F that. This play cost us in the biggest game of our lives. We're going to run it again until we get it right. Well, we did.
That ain't the same program.
We lined
Started
up. We ran it two more times until it was complete. That's what I mean about building that mental toughness. That's what I mean about saying, this type of stuff, we ain't letting slide. So when people tell me, it's just practice, Jesse. Don't overblow practice. Well, when do stuff get worked out then? If it's just practice, when should I overblow things? Because I remember when things didn't go well in practice, it don't magically go well in games. So when this type of stuff happens in practice, fellas, just FYI, as someone who's been in a couple practices before, it don't go well in the games. It don't. It, as my coach used to say, it don't happen by FM. Freaking magic when you get to Sunday. If you can't rep it right and get it right in practice, I promise you, 9 times out of 10, it's not going to happen in the game. So when you begin to build these habits in practice of just letting things slide, just letting things go, missing assignments, not knowing that we got to stay front side on a crack sweep or whatever that may be, and you just let it go, guess what happens in the game?
You do it again.
In the moments where you can't afford for it to happen, in those tight, critical moments, that's toughness. That is toughness. Mentally and physically is being able to do what you have to do consistently every single time. Because in the game of football, you never know when that play is going to be the play that cost you or wins you a football game.
Now, here we are this close to the season opener, and we're questioning the toughness of our team based off of this play that we saw in this joint practices. Now, you know.
Now, it's not that play. When you watch the whole thing, when you watch our practices, the other practices, they're consistently things that we're seeing. Like, we talked about the offensive line, all this carousel stuff.
Right.
Is he starting or is he not? He's a first-round pick. Is he starting or isn't he? What are we second-guessing this thing? If he can go or he can't? Let's go. Let's move. There's all this imbalance and inconsistency. Like, that stuff is a carryover. Nate, Isaiah, please. Like, this stuff is a carryover. Explain to them. Like, when you have all of these inconsistencies, when you're like, well, we don't really know who's going to be our starting what. We don't know who. That stuff inconsistent that will carry over into the year, and then now guys will be guessing about what we're doing week one of the season. You can't afford to give that kind of advantage to any team in the National Football League that you're going up against, because the games are so tight and they mean so much, and every play is a costly play, win or lose of that game. You need to have it. And so it ain't just this play. It's all through training camp. We're talking about the kicker. Right? We got to bring kickers in. Not because of injury, because the two guys that we brought in can't hit from 30-something yards. We're talking about offensive line and defensive line. The one mainstay that we've consistently talked about that's good is Micah Parsons. Yeah. Everything else has kind of been a toss-up week in and week out in the season, and we're talking about T-minus 30 days away from being...
You're going to make the sprinkler go off in this thing, man. Okay? We're trying to keep the fire alarm from going off in the studio, Jesse.
Sorry.
All right. And so... Look, I want to make sure before I go to break, do you guys have any more to add to what Jesse's saying? Because I believe you're on to something with the mental toughness aspect of it, but I just feel like when we're questioning the intestinal fortitude of guys, we have to go a lot more in depth on this, especially with guys that put their bodies on the line each and every play in this league. So, I mean, them listening to this or anyone listening to this, it would sound to me as though you're saying that right now, we got a soft offensive line, and going into the season, you're going in already saying that, look, we got some problems.
When we line up week in and week out, right, do people fear us? Like, do people fear our offensive line? 5, 6, 7 years ago, sure.
Yeah.
Do people feel that way now?
Mm-mm.
Do people fear that we're gonna be completely dominated? Like, when we talked about the Niners last year, and I know I'm going back in the past, but when we talked about the Niners last year, what did everybody kept saying? Me and Nate went back and forth because I laughed because the week leading up to the Niners game, we want to go full pads. We ain't going full pads all year. And all of a sudden, we think we're going to get tough in a week. It was the worst matchup for us. Why? Because they were going to be physical. They were going to be mentally and physically tough from jump, and we gave them the ball. And what did they do? Exactly what we thought they would. Denny Green, we are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Well, look, we're going to take our first break and let Jesse get some water over here. We'll be right back on Hanging with the Boys.
Star Sports Tours is the only official fan travel partner of the Dallas Cowboys, offering exclusive game weekend travel packages with pregame sideline access and photo ops with current players, cheerleaders, and Cowboy legends. You want to stay at a team hotel? Attend the best tailgate party in Texas, tour the Star, and talk X's and O's with me, Everson Walls. With Star Sports Tours, you can. Visit CowboysTravel.com to book your travel package today.
Brace yourself for an existential question. Has your butt been having enough fun lately? Have you been treating it well? Has it been going places? If not, then it's about time you start using SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best way to get your butt tickets to live events. Just ask the thousands of other butts who have rated it the number one ticketing app. So what are you waiting for? Download the app now or visit SeatGeek.com to get tickets to sports, concerts, and live events and make your butt happy. SeatGeek. Get your seat in a seat.
The Cowboys way. Where 16 Hall of Famers and 5 championships shows us what success looks like. Where turkey is always the second best part of Thanksgiving Day. Where we are all defined by one single thing, the star. Where we as fans know it's our job to keep the tradition going. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Dallas Cowboys and to support the quest of living life the Cowboys way.
Copyright 2020, Bank of America Corporation.
Attention Cowboys fans looking for the best shave of your life. There's a new official razor of the Dallas Cowboys, Shave Logic. Imagine not having to buy blades as often and getting more smooth shaves than your old razor, guaranteed or your money back. After more than 10 years of research and over 150 company patents, Shave Logic is proud to offer Cowboys fans a special offer. For a limited time, visit ShaveLogic.com and get a free $10 gift card with your purchase. Go to ShaveLogic.com now for more smooth shaves guaranteed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to Hanging with the Boys.
Back in action here at the SWBC Mortgage Studios. The second segment is brought to you by blockchain.com. We've gotten Jesse Holly to calm down a little bit. Kurt Daniels to the right of me. I still have Nate Newton on the phone and Isaiah Standback. I will not do it. Isaiah, you are still there. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. Y'all doing all right?
Yeah, we're doing all right. We're doing all right.
As you can
see, if you could feel, it's already hot out there in Denver. There's no, it's hot in the studio right now with this guy.
Man. Huh? I'm just sitting back listening.
Sitting back. Well, look, on a positive note, let's get to some positivity. Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb look good. CeeDee Lamb, it looked as though, man, he was baptizing some people. And so I want to talk to you, Isaiah. You were out there. What did you think about the connection? Obviously, there were some errant throws by Dak, but overall, he had a good showing.
Overall, it was an okay showing. I mean, I know everybody's talking about the stats, and you guys, you know more than me, more than anybody. Heck, I'm not a stat guy
right on.
For the most part. Majority of the passes that Dallas was throwing in practice yesterday were very dink and dunk type passes. They were short, little quick out routes. They were flat swing routes, high precision, easy passes for Dak. So that was majority of what we saw yesterday. Some of the plays that people saw, you know, obviously the post route to CD, that was an amazing route and amazing throw. Absolutely. He turned that guy around. It was a highlight reel type of play. That's what you expect to see out of those guys, and that was amazing.
Now, he did fit some throws into Simi Fehoko and to Noah Brown, though. Isaiah, those are some great throws that he made. I mean, come on now.
Absolutely, but some of those throws would not have gotten off. And that's what I'm getting at. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. Some of those plays that you saw show up on a highlight reel from Kef out here, he would have got sacked. So, though, those are great passes, and those are like null and void in my eyes. And, you know, I go back to one play specifically, and I actually heard Dak saying, talking about it when he walked by me yesterday after practice. There was a pass in the back of the end zone, and it was actually they were doing red zone, and it was a pass, I believe it was to CB, and it should have been picked off. It was probably one of the easiest potential interceptions that a DB can ever hope for. And it was just a mistiming. I don't know if it was mistiming. I don't know if that can be CD, whatever it may have been. But it's one of those plays that I just can't write off as whatever mistake, because those are the plays that come back and get you.
Yeah,
So all in all, I can't sit back here and say, oh yeah, he had such an amazing practice there. CD did amazing. They had a couple plays of which what was based off the opportunities that they were given, the play calls that were handed down, they did well with them. However, there were some other ones that made there were big uh-ohs that make you say, oh no, we can't have that.
Now, Nate, you talked to us. I mean, you gave us some nuggets from camp about Dennis Houston, and that was one of the things that I saw from Dak as well. If you talk about those short and intermediate throws that Dak made, those were going to Dennis Houston. Talk about him and his impact, because obviously, you know, he's somebody that Dak is looking for.
Yeah, Isaiah brought that to my attention a couple of weeks ago, that watched this kid, and we watched him, and he showed up big in the little scrimmages or so-called practices that we had that were padded. But I want to go back to what Jesse was saying, and that's what I'm saying, Jesse. I agree with you about the toughness, but I also believe that these coaches have to go back and reiterate what they are trying to do too. I mean, I'm not about to fight. You know, I'm about getting on the right guy and being with the right guy. Our receivers are going to be all right. But like I've been trying to tell everybody that I'm talking to, if you never fix the offensive line, ain't none of this going to work. Like Isaiah said, he had some great throws, but they were sacks. You know, you get in the red zone, and what you see at the end of the highlight is he catching a pass that should have been picked off. These are the things that until we get consistent, until we find those five guys or those six or seven guys up front, that's going to stop letting people leak in and stop and be the players that we hope for them to be at the end of this month when they play this first game. Until we fix that front end, we're going to have these sketchy conversations.
Do they need to go out and find somebody?
Maybe a swing tackle. But I think your first five guys, if you decide to go with that, is going to be okay. Like I say, it ain't just four guys falling apart all together. It's one guy here, it's one guy there. And to me, that comes down to coaching and making sure guys finish. You have to learn to finish. And in this new NFL, you don't get to finish. You know, a 9 times out of 10, when a guy kind of halfway got you beat, everybody lighten up. Well, don't lighten up. Tighten up and finish. It's called start to finish, from whistle to whistle. And that's what these guys are missing, Jesse. They're not finishing plays. You let a guy just blow by, and then all of a sudden, let it go. You can't let it go. You got to let this guy know that you're there. It's called being an irritant. You got to be an irritant. It's like getting something in your eye, and all of a sudden you can't get it out. Sooner or later, you're going to have to stop and say, man, let me fix my eye. These guys ain't doing that.
Now, Jesse, I got to ask you, we were talking about need some help or hold what you got. After the joint practice, looking at these wide receivers, is the sense of urgency to bring in the vet the same as it was for you on Wednesday when we talked about this wide receiver
group? No, hold what you got, man, but get the same five guys. Hold what you got. I'm still saying you got this week here. Hold what you got. When you play against Denver, if Ball be giving it up, if he's giving it up, you gotta go out and then you gotta change something. But right now you got five guys, you got six guys. Well, who is the backup guard or swing tackle, however you want to put it? And who's your starters? Declare your starters and let's start working on being consistent as offensive line. You know, and that'll fix half our problem, I think. We'll see. Time will tell.
Yeah, I think you still go get a receiver. I mean, life is going to get pretty interesting. He might not sit in the preseason, whether that be actual playing time or actual vanilla coverage. CeeDee Lamb's getting ready to see a ton of double team. He's getting ready to see a ton. Like, I just find it very hard to believe that a defensive coordinator is going to let CeeDee Lamb run free one-on-one when I can shut him out and then make Dak have to beat me with guys who don't have NFL receptions.
I'm with you there.
Like, think about that. I'm a high quality. You think Raheem Morris and company
no,
in Tampa Bay
yeah.
gonna let CD just run free one-on-one coverage or zone it up and just let him? They're going to say, all right, we're going to take 88 out the game, and I'm going to see what this Tober kid going to be about because he ain't never caught a pass in the NFL. Yeah. I'm going to see what this Fehoku kid's going to be about because he ain't never caught a pass in the National Football League. I'm going to see what this Noah Brown kid's going to be about because he only got 14 receptions in 5-6 years.
And never caught a touchdown.
And none of the rest of those guys have caught touchdowns. So I'm going to take away 88, and if 18, Houston, Fehoku, and so if they beat us, I'm going to tip my cap to them and I'm going about my business. But what I'm not going to do is let the one proven dude and the only proven dude on the field at the receiver position beat me. Those other guys beat me, I tip my cap, we go back to the drawing board, see you guys later on.
What you got, Isaiah?
They got a bigger problem than that, though. See, and that's what I'm saying. Me and you got the same problem, but my position is more important. Because if my position don't do nothing, don't nothing happen. And that's what I'm trying to say. You have to get solid in your offensive line and know who you are before these other guys can even begin to go down the field or release off a one-on-one defender or whatever. These guys, it's not happening because, like Isaiah said, you had everything short, immediate to short, you know, so – They have to get a solid offensive line, and they have to start playing that way. Because if they don't play that way, Isaiah, you with it, or you want to start with the wide receivers and come back to the line?
Oh, I mean, whatever you guys want to do, man. I mean, it's not great right now. I just want everybody to know that, and it's not hitting a doggone panic button. But based off of what I saw yesterday, and again. There's a lot of other things that, you know, that we as former players would consider to be excuses, but, you know, Kurt just hit on them. You know, the travel, the elevation, the heat, the schedule, the getting bus to practice, the fans, you know, all these other outside elements that could affect your performance. But that's performance. Performance is going to come and go. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. The thing that I need the fans to understand is what Jesse is alluding to right now. Is there's that's character. Character is not supposed to be wavering. Character and identity aren't things that should be in question. There's so many things I can hit on right now that I saw yesterday, but I don't want to take this thing off the rails. Tech will kill me.
No,
but,
go ahead, man. We already there.
So I give you an example.
There.
I'm not gonna say names. Okay, I'm not gonna say names. But
Jesse,
I'm gonna put it out there. But for instance, after practice yesterday, mm-hmm. Russell Wilson didn't go into the locker room until an hour and a half after practice.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson signed autographs. He signed autographs for the VIP section. He signed autographs for the regular section. He crawled underneath ropes. He went in there, did all the extra, went out there, talked to all the veterans, the Peyton Mannings, the Terrell Davises, hung out, took pictures with families, and then did his media duties and then went inside the facility. At the same time, the Dallas Cowboys had players, not going to say names, they had players that were standing in the same region, fans yelling their name, let me get your autograph, let me get a picture. Their response is, I'm not doing autographs today.
Yeah. I mean, and that's tough, man. That's a tough one. And that when you talk about character wavering, obviously that's pointing to a whole nother thing. And yeah, that's pretty tough. But the one thing that I noticed yesterday with fans clamoring for guys like Tony Pollard to be more involved in the mm-hmm. offense, did you see that yesterday, Isaiah? You were out there, and that was one of the questions that I wanted to direct to you, was this curious case of Tony Pollard and the way that he was used. We saw him and Zeke on the field at the same time and him working out of the slot.
Good point. Hey, there's a lot of that. From what I've been seeing from the time that Nate and I were in, I'm down there in Oxnard to my time here in Denver, the Cowboys and Kellen Moore are seemingly trying to incorporate him substantially more than they have in the past. The fans' voice have been heard, okay? And they are doing all they can to incorporate both those guys on the field simultaneously, and I'm not talking about from the perspective of Tony Pollard lining up at receiver. That would be to his demise. He is not a route runner Okay, he has a lot of attributes, a lot of skill sets, but he is not a route runner. Let's not get confused. He's no LeSean McCoy and guys like that that you can put out there and give them the whole route tree and they'll be okay. He's not that today. But they are doing a lot of two-back sets. They're putting him out there in split backs. They're doing zone reads. They're doing lead back where Zeke's the fullback and TP's the running back. They're doing, you know, bunch sets where TP's on the inside and then they're doing fly sets. They're doing a lot of different things. They're incorporating him. And I'm sure they're still just only showing a sample size of what he intends to do when the regular season starts. But it's encouraging to see that they are attempting to get him more involved in the first and second down.
And Jess, was that something that you got? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'll believe it when I see it.
You'll believe it when you see it. But Jesse, were you encouraged by that? Just seeing the way that they're trying to involve Tony Pollard, because the same thing that we talked about the wide receiver, having to bring in an extra body or bring in that veteran that can get that passing game going. Were you encouraged by seeing Tony Pollard in the slot?
I'll believe it when I see it.
We don't have that kind of show.
I'm just saying, guys, we've been hearing this for 2 years now.
3 years.
3 years.
We've been hearing this for years. And we've seen stuff in practice, and then all of a sudden we magically get in the game, and where does it go? Right? Remember last year they were working on these secret plays and doing all this stuff? We never saw it. We never saw it. Heck, we never saw it. And I don't want to be that guy, but we never saw it.
Mm-hmm. Even when Zeke was injured. We never saw it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know fans are gonna say, "Oh, you're so negative. You're this. You're that." But I'm like, we never saw it, ever.
Never. So, yeah, so the secret plays are not there.
I'm not saying they're not there. I mean, clearly they're running them in practice. But we get to the game and they get lost between the travel from practice field to game field. But right? We haven't seen it. Heck, when are we going to see it?
I think now is the time that you have to, especially last year you had a trio of wide receivers. Now you don't have that. You just mentioned how CeeDee Lamb is going to be double covered. What are they going to do to feature him, put him in a position where he can be successful? The only other weapons you have, I mean, this isn't by committee. You have to get guys involved in this offense if you're going to have any success.
I agree with you 100%. This coaching staff and this offensive coordinator for years have found ways not to fully involve players. To not strategically go out there and put players in really successful situations consistently. We've seen good games from them, and then we've seen some games where we're saying, what happened to what we had 2 weeks ago? And it goes off the rail. So forgive me for my pessimism, but I just have to wait and see if this is finally the year where Kellen Moore and company turns the corner and fully features guys who have the extreme talent that we all know they have in the games.
Yeah, no sense in asking you guys the grade that you gave the joint practice yesterday. So I'm seeing D's and F's all across the board for everyone. Isaiah, and my own point with that, are you basically came away saying, no, that's not it, go back to the drawing board, then what do you need to see on Saturday that's going to make you feel better about what you saw yesterday?
Fight and execution. Those are the two things that we're going to need to see on a consistent basis. And again, I wish I had an opportunity to see more of what the defense was presenting. Where we were located, we were far away from them, so I was only able to glance over there every so often. But offensively, hopefully, and actually had one of the coaches tell me they were actually kind of happy that they got busted in the mouth. They were happy that the guys got busted in the mouth because they needed that wake-up call. So I'm hoping that that was a one-time occurrence and that what we see, the product that we see on Saturday, tomorrow, is going to be something totally different and it's not even going to be recognizable. That's my hope.
Kurt, you got anything to add to that before we take our final break?
No, let's head to break. I mean, I agree with him. You gotta.
Nate, what about you?
Yeah, but I just been listening, man. And one day, before too long, somebody gonna say, "Man, can we get 5 starting offensive line?"
Man, we're gonna take our final break here. Stay with us for more HWTB.
Brace yourself for an existential question. Has your butt been having enough fun lately? Have you been treating it well? Has it been going places? If not, then it's about time you start using SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best way to get your butt tickets to live events. Just ask the thousands of other butts who have rated it the number one ticketing app. So what are you waiting for? Download the app now or visit SeatGeek.com to get tickets to sports, concerts, and live events and make your butt happy. SeatGeek. Get your seat in a seat.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. I'm a broken traffic light. Stop and go is the name of my game. It's easy. You go, they go. What was it? They go, you go? And if you have the wrong car insurance, these repair costs could stop you in your tracks. So get Allstate's new low auto rate and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Not available in every state based on coverage and limits selected. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Hey, Cowboys fans, if you're thinking about attending a game this season, visit CowboysTravel.com to book your travel package today. Stay at the team hotel, have dinner with a Cowboys legend, and experience AT&T Stadium's exclusive VIP Owners Club. Also, tour the Star, get autographs from your favorite players, and talk X's and O's with me, Mickey Spagnola. The official travel partner of the Dallas Cowboys will take care of all your travel needs. Visit CowboysTravel.com.
With Smoothie King's original Angel Food and new Angel Food Slim without added sugar, you no longer have to choose between treating yourself and hitting your goals this summer. You don't have to choose between great taste and feeling great. Because at Smoothie King, every blend is made with whole fruits and no syrups, so you can satisfy your cravings without compromise. The only choice you will need to make is which one is best for you. Try our classic Angel Food or the new Angel Food Slim, blended without added sugar. Smoothie King, rule the day.
Back to Hanging with the Boys.
Come watch the Cowboys practice during training camp at the Star, presented by American Airlines. Open practice will take place for back-to-back nights at the Ford Center and the Star. Join us for Cowboy Night on Tuesday, August 23rd, starting at 4 p.m. and open practice on Wednesday, August 24th at 6 p.m. For more information, visit the Star in Frisco.com. I'm Heckman Harrison here on the desk. We're hanging with the boys with Kurt Daniels, Jesse Holly. I got Isaiah Standback on the line and also Nate Newton. And guys, you have successfully taken the positivity out of me, but I got a subject that's going to make me feel better.
Oh, okay, make me feel good.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pour it on thick. And his name is Micah Parsons. Stop it. His name is Micah Parsons. And he, from what I heard, from what I saw, number 11, was unstoppable yesterday in practice. So I'm hoping that the Denver podcast and media department is over there saying, boy, we need to pick some new guys on our front line because Micah came in town and wrecked shop. And I'm not calling the other 10 guys the Blue Notes, but I'm definitely calling Micah Harold Melvin because let me tell you something, man. This guy is getting it in by himself and doing work. Now, I'm going to jump out the cake, and I'm going to do this right now, Isaiah. I'm telling you, defensive player of the year. It's happening. This guy, I'm telling you right now, I'm putting my name on it. Is this guy unstoppable?
Did he get gypped last year?
Of course he did. Of course he did. With the 30 quarterback hits and 13 sacks, this guy was everywhere. But I think the way that Dan Quinn is going to use him and feature him, and I've been trying to talk Nate into co-signing the whole hand in the ground thing, but he won't do it, Nate. But I just feel like, man, he's so special. And the things that he could do on the field, it's just, man, it's not going to be a sophomore slump. I just feel as though, you know, Micah Parsons is that. Year. Say that again.
He'll be special again this year because they will use him, you know, in the same way as they did last year. He will be special. We have better players. We've lost. Only person we've lost is Gregory. Everybody's a year more into this. He will still be that special guy. Maybe they just – being vanilla with him right now, you know, before he, did, you know, they you know, put that caramel on him, right, Zeus?
Oh, no.
I know we went on a super negative note. Well, not even a negative note. We just reported what was actually out there.
Absolutely.
That was offensively. Defensively, from what I saw, heck, from the ones. Let's just address the ones, okay? Micah Parsons was in the backfield and in the backfield often causing a lot of havoc. And making Mr. Number 3, Russell Wilson, very uncomfortable yesterday. That was a positive.
It was more of what you have come to know Michael Parsons for doing. And so that was very encouraging. There was another gentleman by the name of Sam Williams. He did an amazing job. He's a rookie that doesn't play like a rookie. This guy is getting in the backfield. I love his attitude. I like his grit. I like his physicality. He is bringing an element to this defense that was not present last year, and I am here for it. He was in the backfield a lot yesterday and causing havoc. Terrell Basham is somebody that we have to keep an eye out for tomorrow because he is, believe it or not, in a competition battle right now. He's fighting for his role on the team, but he did a great job yesterday. He had a pick six in return, one back for a touchdown. So there was definitely some positives, but there are positives from the side of the team that has we've come to know now as the leadership side of this team, which is defense. This team is a defensive team now. Yes.
And do you, I mean, when you say that, do you say that with disgust? Or are you saying this is this? Okay, yeah. So because the youth, the guys that you have on that side, especially with Michael Parsons, I mean, this is a special player that you know can lead this team. Look, I don't want to be cliche, but as they say, defense wins championships, right? And you feel as though you have a piece or a cog that can get you to that next level. And Jesse, do you feel like he's that?
Micah?
Yes.
I love Micah Parsons. Currently, as we sit today, unless Micah Parsons sets himself on fire and makes it through practice without third-degree burns, there is nothing that he can do to get more high praise than me. I wish I had 50 Micah Parsons. There's nothing I do not like about this kid. Every single time he puts on the uniform, he is a walking, dominant figure. He wants to eat your lunch every single – there's not a time but he doesn't want to eat your lunch.
Does he have that toughness you've been talking about?
He has it, and I love it. I wish I had 30, 40 more of these jokers, man. So for Micah, for me, like, I don't even talk about Micah anymore. Like, I set him aside like, well, we know he's going to do what he's going to do. I need 10 other guys to follow his lead. Like, so when you hear it says Micah dominated in practice, water's wet. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's encouraging, Jesse, though. You know what's encouraging? We could talk about Micah all day long. The additions that this defensive staff made with the rookies this year, all of them, I repeat, all of the defensive additions in terms of rookies have that same grit.
So they run into that ball. Let's load up. They're trying to make plays.
Let's load up.
Even to Bale, a free agent, number 41 safety, he's the same way. Sam Williams, that's who I talk about all the time. He's that way. Even when they make a mistake, it is 100 miles an hour.
You see, those are the guys I can go, you know, in the proverbial war with. I can go with Micah Parsons. I can go with a J'Ron Curse. I can go with a guy, you saying, like a guy like Sam Williams. Because I know those guys, they're going to give me everything they got. It ain't going to be no plays taken off. It ain't going to be no – every moment is a moment where I want to go out there and dominate. That's the encouraging part to me, is to have guys like that on your football team. And you hope – your hope is that it begins to bleed into other players. It begins to bleed into what they do defensively.
Can the toughness on defense bleed into the offense?
Yeah, it can.
It can.
With the defensive line, because I'm telling you, we experienced that. We know we added a few players like Eric Williams, who was great. Larry Allen, who was great. But our defense was outstanding.
But see, iron has to want to be sharpened.
And they allowed us to pick up, made us pick up our pace in practice.
Exactly.
See, it's about pace and tempo and knowing who to get. And that's what I'm hoping this offensive line can get the pace and tempo of what Denver did to them. And I hope they can pick up their tempo and their pace.
When the iron sharpened iron part comes into play, like the both irons have to want to be sharpened.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like when you hear about the legendary practices, if Nate was going up against Charles Haley, Charles wasn't gonna take a play off on Nate because Nate wasn't having a good day. Right, he gonna try to bury you every single time. Russell Maryland, guys like that, you know, Gant and Lockhart. I mean, when you're playing against guys, you know, Ken, when you're playing against guys like that, Darren Woodson ain't giving you a break. He ain't trying to hear that.
Yeah.
So either you raise your level to what their level is, or you stick out like a sore thumb and nobody wants you to be a part of them.
Now, guys, before we get out of here, obviously we have a scrimmage tomorrow with the Denver Broncos. We have scrimmage. We have a preseason game tomorrow. Preseason.
Oh, this is a glorified scrimmage.
Yeah, no, it's a preseason game tomorrow in Denver with the Broncos. And Isaiah, you will be on the call tomorrow, correct?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
This is your. It's not your debut. This is your second preseason game, correct, that you've called?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
All good, man. Looking forward to hearing you on the call. Who are you going to be with tomorrow?
I'm going to be up there with Bill Jones and Babe Loppenberg.
Babe and I do believe that Kyle Yeomans is going to be on
the sideline reporter. Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's going to be on the field. So I cannot wait to see that tomorrow. But, guys, obviously we're going to be talking about second and third string guys playing in that game next week. But just give me a name. And Isaiah, I'm going to start with you. Give me a name of a guy that you're going to be locked in on tomorrow.
Dennis Houston.
Dennis Houston. And why?
Dennis Houston. Dennis Houston and Simi Fehoko. I think those guys are both vying for the same position. Obviously, the Dallas Cowboys have a lot more invested into Simi Fehoko, being that he was a fourth-round draft pick for them. But Dennis Houston has the trust of number four, QB1. So it's going to be very interesting to see which one of these guys decides to take advantage of opportunities given to them and all these reps they're going to receive tomorrow.
Kurt, what about you?
Kelvin Joseph. Sounded like he had kind of a rough day yesterday. Is he going to take that next step here in his second year, or is this somebody we can rely on, or is he not? So,
Nate, what about you?
I got on offense. I got Tyler Smith. Will he prosper enough to take the starting job? On defense, I got my boy Sam Williams, who I've been loving since day one. And then I got my boy Marquise Bell, Rattler, backfield. How much safety work will he get?
Jesse, who are you looking at?
I'm looking at the middle of our defense. So I want to see Osa. I want to see Watkins. I want to see all those guys who are going to be in that middle front of that defense. I want to see Bohannon. I want to see what those guys are going to do, because it does us no good if the centers and guards is up on our linebackers as soon as the ball is snapped. If those guys aren't getting penetration and those guys aren't at least making it, you know, meet me at the line of scrimmage and not getting pushback, that's going to be a positive thing. I want to see what we're going to do up front defensively, because Leighton Van Der Esch, Anthony Barr, Micah Parsons, none of them can't roam and go get the football if offensive linemen are attacking them on the second level. That's a four-yard game, fellas.
Right.
You know, guys that just fall forward. So, can they do enough up front to hold that line to allow Barr and Parsons and company in the future to be free-flowing linebackers to go make some plays? So I'll be looking for those guys. And then one guy I do want to see is the DB, tall one.
Nashawn Wright?
No, the other one.
Nashawn Wright?
Israel Mukwamu?
Israel Mukwamu. I want to see what those guys do outside, because – truth be told, like, Diggs is Diggs. And you got Anthony Brown and Jordan Lewis, but there still have to be some spots that you ain't going in with three DBs.
No.
You're gonna have to have some guys back there. And I want to see what those guys are gonna do on the outside against some speed and I don't know if Russell Wilson's gonna play or not, but if he does, great. If he doesn't, great. But I want to see those guys in coverage.
Yeah, all of those names that you guys mentioned are definitely at the top of my list. But Nashawn Wright, I'm glad you didn't take it. He's a guy that I'm definitely looking at. E Honda, Isaiah, we're looking for those E Honda hands, and he is in the battle right now. I think you point out Kelvin Joseph, who they did say, you know, obviously had a pretty tough practice yesterday, as Nate pronounces that name correctly. The one name he got is Boss Man Fat, though. But Nashawn Wright.
Like, he weighed 800 pounds, all Boss Fat.
Yeah, Nation Wright. I believe he's had a good camp. Let's see if he can carry that over into the game, because he's a guy that I think, you know, came in underestimated and has, you know, made a splash. And so, you know, as you mentioned, you can't have enough of those guys. Injuries will happen and occur throughout the season, and I think Nation Wright has an opportunity right now to make that splash on this defense. He's already done it last year on special teams. Yeah. But guys, that is it for us.
Josh Ball's another one we got to watch.
You heard what Nate said. You heard what Nate said. Kurt said Josh Ball. He's looking forward to seeing Josh Ball tomorrow. So we got
the wrecking ball.
Getting wrecked.
So we have worked OT here at Hanging with the Boys. I want to thank all of y'all for hanging in with us. And look, they tell it how it is. You know, this is the people show. That's what it is, and that's what Isaiah's done. That's what Nate's done. Jesse, I appreciate you. Kirk, I appreciate you. For Jip Jazz and Terrence in the back, this has been Hanging with the Boys.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!